You're listening to a Crossroads original podcast.
Welcome to 100 Huntley Street, friends. I am your host today, Laura Watson. I'm so excited that you're joining us for this podcast. It is such a great episode, and we have an incredible guest coming your way, Mayor Dan Carter. He is the mayor of a pretty big city in Ontario, and it's a bustling city. It's a busy city. He is a leader. He is working on fighting issues of homelessness, addiction, affordability issues, as well as food insecurity in his city. And I'm so thankful for who he is. He is such a bright light. The first time, actually, I met Mayor Dan Carter, he had spoken at the Toronto Prayer Breakfast. And so that's held in the downtown city of Toronto, Ontario. And he was an incredible public speaker. And that's what he was. He was the keynote speaker that day. And he's got such a warm smile, bright blue eyes, very, very charismatic, full of joy and energy. But then as he shared his story, and we know he's an incredible leader, but he starts to share his story. And my jaw drops because his personal story is that he fell after being abused and traumatized. He fell into addiction at a young age, and it spiraled into very, very significant alcohol abuse, and he ended up homeless. And in his 30s, that was his reality, until a loved one, a family member, stepped in and challenged him. And you'll hear that story, but through that loved one caring for him, Dan was able to shift the direction of his life, and eventually, over time, he also became a strong follower of Jesus. And he and his wife today, wonderful people following Jesus and spreading the love of God to so many, practically through politics and also spiritually through the sharing of his story and the testimony of what God has done in his life. And, you know, if you're finding yourself in a season of your life where you can't imagine a different future for yourself, you can't imagine that God has something else in store for you because you are trapped or locked by something, whether it's something that happened to you or it's an addiction you're struggling with, maybe it's an unhealthy relationship or pattern in your life, and you just feel like you're locked in place, remember that the Bible talks so much about our freedom. You know, Luke 4:18-19 says that Jesus came to set us free. You know, Galatians 5:1 says, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. We are to stand firm and not let ourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And what they mean by slavery in that context of the Bible is anything that holds us down or holds us back from living that full life. And really, it's slavery to sin, the sin that others actually live out when they hurt us, or the sin that we live through and pursue when we are doing things that are against what the Bible advises us to do in our lives to have a healthy, full life. I just want to encourage you, this story is going to help you see your life differently and help you see possibilities for yourself and also your loved ones. As I said, somebody stepped into Mayor Dan Carter's life and changed the trajectory. It was his sister. And so we know that can happen too for others and those around you. So I really want you to hear this conversation. I'm so thrilled you're going to be tuning in. There are some sensitive points. And so, you know, if you have some triggers around sexual abuse or sexual trauma or even addiction and homelessness, I want you to be mindful of that. You know, if you want to not listen in this moment, or if you want to just go slow and see how that feels for you, that's something that we want to remind you of, just to take good care of yourself. But this story is full of redemption, and it's very nuanced in how it's told. And the focus here is the hope of Jesus and the difference that Christ can make in our lives, no matter what we've been through. So just after this, you are going to hear me with Mayor Dan Carter, and I know you're going to be encouraged on your journey and as you think about the journey of your loved ones.
Dan Carter is the mayor of Oshawa, a bustling city center in the heart of Ontario. He joins us now to share his vision for unity in Canada and his powerful personal story of heartache, healing, and redemption. Please join me in welcoming Mayor Dan Carter back to 100 Huntley Street. Welcome, Mayor Carter.
It's great to be with you once again, and thank you for the opportunity to be able to join you today.
Well, it's always our honor to have you with us. Thanks. You know, as the mayor of a very busy city here in Ontario, what are some of the challenges you're seeing Canadians facing today?
I think everybody's talking about affordability at this particular time. They're being impacted, but at the same time, people want the best services to be able to be delivered. They're worried about not only their family at this particular time, but they're also about their children and what the future holds for them. And I think as an elected official, so we've really got to understand that. Where's the job market going? Where's the future really going to be going for your young people? And how are we going to be able to make sure that we create a pathway to make sure that the future looks brighter than it does right at this particular time? You know, inflation for the longest period of time was running rampant. I know that through our budget process we did at the city, we saw increases we've never seen before. I mean, there's a chemical used for water purification that everybody, you know, for your drinking water, it went up 250%. We did a capital project that we had originally slated for a new recreation center, about $100 million. It came in at $240 million. So inflation played a significant role in regards to our operation, but it really is the affordability. And I think there is this real sense right at this particular time, there's a built up frustration, maybe some darkness and some anger that is happening with Canadians right now. And to be absolutely honest, I've been saying this as I travel across the country, is don't allow anger and fear and darkness to come in. This is a moment Canadians need to come together and let us work together through the most difficult periods of time. So
yes, indeed, it makes all the difference in the world. And sometimes I'm even just out with my family and I notice the difference on the street, the way people are not being patient with each other. The difference the last 4 years has caused, pandemic life, and I think these affordability issues. You know, we're seeing this rise in homelessness and addiction connected to affordability. I believe that because as things become less affordable, the ability to eat healthy or to put a roof over your head, people are pushed further into the margins and there's more desperation. How do you see that impacting the city of Oshawa?
Well, I can tell you from March of 2020 when the pandemic started, we had about 45 individuals that we knew that were on the streets and that struggled with mental health and addiction, that they were unsheltered or they were couch surfing. So we really understood what those individuals were going through. By 6 months later, there was over 300 individuals. And it wasn't just what was happening through the pandemic, it was all the services that had closed down. All the volunteers that do, you know, the soup kitchens, people that volunteer at our agencies, they couldn't participate. So those services weren't available. So what was happening is the most vulnerable were vulnerable at the most vulnerable time in our country. And I think that what we've seen across this country is we're seeing an epidemic when it comes to homelessness, addiction, and mental health. And, you know, it's one of the reasons why I've been spending a lot of time with Premier Ford and the Minister of Health and the Minister Tobolo, which is the Associate Minister of Addiction and Mental Health, is saying we've got to figure a pathway forward because it's affecting every aspect of our society and it's impacting every community across Canada. Yes. As a matter of fact, across North America. You go across this country and you see homelessness in some of the areas. I mean, Hamilton, London, Guelph, Oshawa. I mean, you know, we're seeing it in Kingston. It touches every community. Mm-hmm. And these individuals absolutely need the type of supports that are going to be able to help them. And we as government have to understand that this is a different moment. And that's why I've been advocating with the province and our federal people, let's come together, right? We can't do this individually. And I think that, you know, we always look at things in four-year windows. We have to understand we didn't get here in 4 years. It's going to take a long period of time to be able to address it. But I believe that we're facing some of the most complex times in the history of Canada right at this time. We need great leaders. We need great Canadians coming together and not tearing down, but building up.
Yes.
And really saying, okay, let's face this together. We can do this. And I think that if we're able to change the narrative, I think that that's a really good starting point.
Well, unity changes everything. And that's even a spiritual principle we see in the Bible. You know, one of the things that Jesus did was he prayed for his believers that they would be unified. That was his big focus, be unified, because we can change our situation. And I love what you're saying that, you know, we didn't get here in 4 years. We're not going to get out of here.
We're not.
Right. And, you know, you've done many innovative initiatives in the city of Oshawa. Yep. There are different things you're trying because the realities of homelessness and addiction are close to all of us. I mean, the reality is that any one of us can be one step away from those issues in our own lives, whether it's someone we love or ourselves.
Yeah.
And you have a personal experience with homelessness and addiction that you went through in your younger life due to significant traumas you went through. Will you share a little bit with our viewers about that?
I always say, and you've heard me speak before, so I kind of look at it, have I been prepared or punished? Mm-hmm. And, you know, a big part of my life is I was trying to, you know, kind of look at my life and saying, why would I be punished so much? Mm-hmm. And, you know, for myself, I know that a lot of viewers out there, they have different experiences, and the reality being is all of us are going to go through major challenges. But I you know, lost my mom when I was very young. I was put into foster care when I was very young, which was a blessing, but not really understanding. And when you're younger, all you want to be is around your siblings.
Yeah.
I was blessed because I was adopted into a wonderful family with three siblings and two wonderful parents that are no longer with us, but just great individuals. Went off to school, had a severe learning disability, and when I went to school in the 1960s, so everybody now knows how old I am, they didn't recognize learning disabilities. And so that created a whole bunch of problems. It went to self-esteem, self-worth, because I failed grade after grade after grade. And as you know, with kids, we just want to fit in, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's it, right? So I struggled in school. Matter of fact, I always say to people, I ended up going to the principal's office in grade four and saying, listen, we should talk about parking because apparently you're going to be here a long time. So it's, you have to laugh at it now. But that struggle was quite devastating and played a significant role in my life. And it was one of the pieces that really caused a great deal of healing necessary in that environment. And then when I was 13, my brother Michael was a police officer, a father of three. He was killed in a motorcycle accident, and that was devastating to me. I was introduced then to drugs and alcohol, and that played a huge role for 17 years. One of the things that I struggled about speaking about when I got into rehabilitation was when I was just between the ages of 7 and 8, as I was a paperboy and I was raped. And I never spoke about that. And so there's, you know, one thing after another. And then in 2000, my sister Maureen, that saved my life and was just a wonderful individual, committed suicide. And that was devastating to me because she was the one that saved my life.
Yeah.
But my life really was one of those kind of things that event after event after event really tested me on a lot of different ways. It wasn't until Maureen passed away that I had to reflect and kind of come to terms with, was I being punished for something or was I being prepared? And I think that when you start asking the question, I think it takes you a long time to get there. But once you do get there and it's others that help you get there, I think you start realizing that maybe God's got a different plan for you than you thought. Yeah. And, you know, I wouldn't want anybody to go through my experiences, but I sit in front of you today grateful for the life that I've been blessed with. And I'm so fortunate. I am so fortunate. I've got a beautiful wife, Paula. I've got grandkids. I've got beautiful stepdaughters and sons. I've got a job that I love, and I'm able to serve in a public way. And the biggest thing is I always want to be public about it because I want people to see that I'm imperfect. I'm a broken individual, but all of us are broken individuals, and we're imperfect. Yeah. And I think that that's relatable, especially today, that our elected officials, we need to be humble and vulnerable and to be able to show that we're imperfect. So that's a little bit, sorry.
Such a big story, such a great, you know, testimony of how things can turn around. But you know, you're right, asking those questions of, am I being punished or prepared? And as I listened to you share your story just now, all I could think of was the life of Joseph, because you watch him go into one situation after the other that it's not his fault.
Yeah.
You know, for our viewers watching, if they don't know the story of Joseph, read it, because you know, there's a situation where someone is not doing things and things are happening that they don't deserve. And, you know, we wonder about those different layers. You know, you mentioned your sister, Maureen, and I know she was a big influence in your life, a successful businesswoman.
Yes.
And when you were 31, you hit your rock bottom. You said, I can't keep doing this with the struggles you were having due to all of the different experiences you'd had. So you call her and she says, you know, she kind of gives you an ultimatum, but also when you went to see her, she was pretty feisty with you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She didn't say a word. I still remember she was sitting in the kitchen and she dropped the newspaper, walked across this thing and didn't say a word and just clipped me across the side of the head. And she said, you have two choices today.
Wow.
Or a choice today. You can either die or you can sober up, but you're going to do one of them today. And my sister, I had never seen her that angry before,
yeah.
But I think she understood this was a pivotal moment in my life, that if I didn't make the right decision, it wasn't fantasy what she was speaking about. It was factual.
Yeah.
Look at you. You're sick. You can't take solid foods. You're 110 pounds. You're addicted to drugs and alcohol. You're so broken. You have a choice today. And if that choice is that you want help, I'll walk with you, I'll support you, and I'll get you the help you need. But if you don't, our relationship is done. Mm-hmm. And I think that played a significant role. Maureen was such an influence. You know, when I was a kid and I was struggling with school and I kept on failing grade after grade, my sister always believed that there was something great in me. And she took me to the ballet and she took me to a restaurant and taught me how to eat properly, believe it or not, if you were gonna be in that kind of social setting. And she was really this kind of mentor of mine that really prepared me for life. And, you know, her influence on me played such a significant role. And I think that that's when Maureen, when she ended her life, it was so devastating to me, because every instinct that God has given us is to survive. Because
yes.
He always knows that tomorrow is going to be a better day than today. He knows that we have something that is necessary for us to do, give, care, whatever, impact somebody's life. And when Maureen took her life, it just didn't make sense. I get emotional about it because I wish you could have met her. She was just a wonderful individual that really, truly loved her family and loved me and cared for me. And unfortunately, she made an ultimate decision. And I still, 20-something years later, still impacts me today. But I am so grateful for what she did.
Yeah.
So grateful.
Well, Dan, she sounds like an amazing woman. And I feel like I am meeting her in some ways because of the testimony of who she was in your life and how she shaped you. You know, even describing, teaching you how to, you know, be in certain settings. Yeah. And now you're in the political realm. You have to know how to do that.
Yeah.
And her strong hand with you saying, you know what, today's, you know, it's do or die.
Yeah.
And the reality is that addiction, even to alcohol, takes many lives.
Yeah.
And so she knew. Yeah. I'm so thankful for her legacy in you and how it lives on. And, you know, our prayer is that we know her with the Lord in heaven and that we are reunited. Wouldn't that be neat?
And it was, you know, and that was something I struggled with when Maureen passed away. There was people that said things that were really inappropriate, especially when it came to suicide, and said how that would be interpreted. That really went right to my core. I thought, you don't understand, this is a woman that cared and gave and led and lifted up and, you know, really had compassion and love in her heart, did wonderful things with many agencies. She was affluent, so she gave a lot. And then for them to make an assumption that because she ended her life that God wouldn't embrace her. And I just, that hurt a lot, but I also, you know, my pastor said to me, he said, Danny, God loves everyone. I can tell you right now, when Maureen got there, his arms were open. And so that was a wonderful thing for me to hear, because that's what I needed to hear. Because I just thought, wouldn't it be so sad that somebody that did so much and saved my life and did wonderful things, that she wouldn't have the opportunity to be able to be embraced like that.
Yeah.
And I always say that God, when I get there, I think God's going to say a couple times, I think he's going to say, you know, Danny, there was a couple times I thought you were going to come home early. You know, and I'm, you know, but You know, there's days I'm a great Christian, and there's days that I'm not a great Christian, but I know in my heart of hearts that God saved my life along with a lot of different people, and I am so grateful for the opportunity to have what I have today. Yeah. And I look at the blessings of my wife Paula and my granddaughter Carolina May and Carter and Bennett and my daughters Amanda and Jenny and our son Alexander and say, how lucky am I?
Yeah. That's amazing. And how lucky are they? How blessed are they to have you in their lives?
I want to make sure they hear that, okay?
Okay, let's say it again. They're so blessed. Oh, you know, Dan, great points you're making, too, about the assumptions people make around afterlife and you know, our eternal realities. It's so important people know what the Bible says, not what religious institutions declare. That's the big divide. So, you know, reading our Bible, we see a God who has open arms and is a God of grace, and it's totally different than what some of our man-made institutions would form around these thoughts. You know, Dan, when we were chatting in the green room, we were talking about some of the calls you get. You get all different calls.
Yeah.
You literally, I mean, you're getting a call about somebody's bullying crisis or a mental health crisis or an overdose crisis where someone's lost a loved one. And I think about how your personal journeys through so many different experiences that many of us don't have in one lifetime actually did prepare you to be able to answer these calls.
And you know, you're absolutely right, and I'm so lucky that way. I didn't understand it until maybe I got into the role, and then when somebody called and said, you know, one of the things I've been very public about my struggles, and I think that was, it was a big chance because people would go, boy, we don't want this guy representing us. But I if I'm gonna live a sober life, that's what I have to do. But here's the other part of it is, I've got calls for parents going, my kid has dyslexia and losing self-confidence and, you know, could you talk to them? Could we come and see you? And all that kind of stuff. And I think that really showed me that all of the events that happened in my life were events that were purposely placed because God believed that I was a strong enough individual to be able to go through this and to be able to utilize those experiences for the right reasons. I was at the Children's Treatment Center in Cornwall. They do wonderful work, by the way, a great organization, and I was their keynote speaker. And they do 150 cases of children that have been sexually abused. And I had to speak at that conference, and I said one of the things that I was so ashamed of and that I struggled with was sharing my experience of being raped as a young boy and what that did to me. And it was amazing the result of that invitation to be able to speak. And by the way, they do breakfast, 650 of them, at 6 o'clock in the morning. I don't know what's going on in Cornwall, but they do breakfast really early. But it was a great event, but it also reconfirmed that the journey that I had gone through, the experience that I had, and because I was willing to share my experience, that it had the opportunity of healing. And, you know, that's not a Dan thing, in my opinion. That's a God thing. I think he put the right person in the right place at the right time. And I think it's what we do with those moments. So,
yeah. And I know that throughout all those journeys, there is a lot of pain, identity crisis, things that kind of come into us when we experience these moments of trauma or abuse, the things that you've gone through. And even the loss of your sister, Maureen, to suicide. So many questions would come out of that. And, you know, you mentioned connecting with your pastor at that point and needing to go to him.
Yeah.
Is that when your faith, when you started to really dig into your faith?
I think what it did is that there was two things that happened. It's one, it was the right pastor at the right time, to be absolutely honest. Pastor Doug Snyder, that was the head of Embassy Church. And matter of fact, he passed 2 years ago from brain cancer. Wonderful man. He played a significant role in regards to introducing or reintroducing me to my faith. I went to church when I was a kid. I always said my father did some of his best sleeping at church, right? And then as we're walking out, he'd go, you know, Reverend Carter, that was a great sermon. And I kind of went, what are you talking about? But yeah, it was Doug, it was the moment I was still struggling with Maureen and couldn't really understand this.
Yeah.
And I was angry too.
Yeah.
And you know, I said to Pastor Doug, I said to him, you know, I'm really angry at God right now because Maureen was really important to me. And he said to me, he said, just so you know that God's not mad at you. And that really kind of set a tone. And then he said, when have you ever read the Bible? I said to him, I struggle with the Bible because the Old Testament is so difficult to be able to kind of comprehend. I need something that I can comprehend. And he gave me the Message. And he said, I need you to read two pages of that every single day. And then we're going to meet once a week and we're just going to talk. And what it did is it really, the Message gave me an opportunity to see where it related in my life and where it related in today's world. And I'm if you read God's word, the one thing that comes out time after time is it is relatable. It's teachable. It's about what we're all experiencing. And I think that to me was a pivotal time with Pastor Doug. He helped me through that period of time, reintroduced me. And once I saw that, I think what happened was it reignited my faith, but it also gave me an opportunity to understand that I wasn't walking alone. He was an incredible man, by the way, and he did unbelievable work, and I've been so blessed to have him in my life.
It's amazing, and it really speaks to the difference that a committed follower of Jesus can make in the life of someone else.
Yeah.
Because the ripple effect now. Yeah, you never know.
You never know. You never know. You know, words of kindness go a long way, but just being so committed and so equipped to be able to meet the moment and knowing the right thing to say at the right time, extraordinary changing of my life, and I'm so lucky. And by the way, he was on my campaign trail every single time. And matter of fact, when I first got sworn in as mayor, he gave me a Bible that I held, and I took my oath of office. So it was front and center. So it was really
incredible.
Cool. Yeah.
Oh, Mayor Carter, you have shared such a beautiful story here, a story of hope and redemption and healing. And we know that so many people have played a part in that story, and God has played a huge part in that story. As you follow Jesus today, what are you learning about him?
I think more than anything right at this particular time, I think it's a really pivotal moment for all of us to understand the journey that we're on. And I think, you know, you heard me say at the National Day of Prayer, one passage really gets me, which is Luke 10, chapter 30 to 39. And it talks about the Good Samaritan and talks about who's your neighbor. And that really connects with me because it is about this moment. And I think, you know, there are parts in the Bible that God places at is part of the text, but is placed at a certain time in history. And you start looking at it, and those that are academics in regards to theology, I think, are able to connect those. For a novice like myself, or just a follower, I think it's those relatable moments that really show me the importance of faith right now. You know, every Tuesday night I go to the river with my daughter Amanda and at the Canadian Christian College in Whitby. And we have just a wonderful, glorious time, not only in worship, but on in word. And it's amazing. I see people from 6 to 86 there. And there's 3,000 of us there. Enthusiastic Christians we are. And, you know, I really do believe that God places these messages, these moments, so that not only we reflect on, but we understand he's equipping us. Mm. And that with that equipment, we're able to face any type of challenges in front of us. And I think we just have to be reminded. So I'd encourage everybody, take the moment, whatever way it is. If it's through worship, do it that way. If it's about Bible study, do that. If it's about reading your Bible every day, do that. If it's just talking to someone, sitting down and talking about your experiences, and be honest, right? Be honest. We're not, you know, I say this all the time. I'm not, you know, there's days that I'm a great Christian and there's days that I'm not.
Yeah.
And I try and do my best to be able to understand that God's planted those seeds in me, and he only wants the best for me, but he also wants me to give my best also to others.
Such words of wisdom. And I like what you said. Some days I'm a great Christian, some days we're not. All I can think about are all the disciples.
Yeah.
Because you watch them in the Bible just trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Oh, Mayor Carter, I'm so thankful that you've joined us for this conversation.
Well, now I think you understand why when I was at the Toronto Prayer Breakfast and I heard Mayor Dan Carter speak, my jaw dropped because I didn't expect someone who is leading at such a high level, someone who is so eloquent with their speech, someone who is having such an incredible impact practically on people's lives and spiritually on people's lives, to have gone through the kind of trauma and challenges and suffering that Mayor Dan Carter went through. And I think that's, you know, it says a lot about who God is and the difference it can make when Jesus comes into our life. Because, you know, we can be so weighed down by the sin of others, things that have happened to us, people who've done things to us, and our own sin, negative choices we're making, and we're weighed down by darkness. But the minute we encounter Jesus, the hope of Christ comes to dwell in our hearts, and we are completely changed from the inside out. And then it's a lifelong work of that redemption in our hearts, minds, and souls as God continues to change us and restore us and heal us and bring us into the fullness of actually the person God originally intended us to be when we were born. And so it's amazing, you know, hearing Dan Carter's story of restoration and redemption. And I want you to know that can be your story today. And that story starts with a relationship with Jesus. You know, if we encounter Jesus and we let him into our hearts and we choose to follow him, everything changes. And if you've been hearing little messages about Jesus or God all around you at different points in your life, consider that God wooing you towards him and wooing you towards his son. And so if you do think in this moment that God's been reaching out to you and talking to you about following Jesus, why don't you make that decision right now? It's so simple, and we can make the decision together. I can lead you in the prayer. There's nothing special about my prayer. All this is a way to show you how the door opens to following Jesus, how the door opened for me just like this when I was 17 years old and someone led me in this prayer. So close your eyes and let's pray together. Repeat after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me and creating me. I know I have done things that have hurt myself and others. I know people have hurt me through things they have done. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask that you would heal me from the things that have happened to me. I believe your son Jesus died on the cross for my sins and was raised from the dead. And today I want to follow Jesus with my whole heart and my mind and my soul. From this day forward, help me to live for Jesus and live for you, an audience of one. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask this by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, if you just prayed that prayer, you have to know that you have opened up the power of heaven in your life. You know, picture that. Picture a dark room and a door opening and light coming in. Jesus has entered into your situation, and that means your very life right now and your future has changed. You know, I'd want you to make sure that if you have made that decision to follow Jesus right now and you just prayed together with me, that you call our prayer partners and let them know. Call 1-866-273-4444 or email prayer@crossroads.ca. And I'm asking you to contact them to let them know, because they will share Bible verses with you, continue to pray with you, and they can send you resources like Bibles and different pamphlets and booklets that will help you on this journey. They will connect you to local churches in your neighborhood so they can do that search for you. And these are great Bible-believing churches. They are safe places to go and explore who you are, made in God's image, and who God is and who he's calling you to be. And they can also connect you to different resources that can support mental health challenges, addiction issues. So there are so many reasons why you should call. And, you know, we know that there's so much power in caring for our loved ones. And you are now in the family of God, so you are a loved one. You are a brother and sister in Christ. And we saw that from Mayor Dan Carter. It was his sister who got him on the straight and narrow. And as he went on to meet Jesus. But, you know, right now, right, we're calling you into community with our prayer partners and then with a local church, and get to know some people who can help you on your journey now. You know, if you have loved ones as well who are struggling with homelessness or addiction, please call our prayer partners and stand with them in prayer for your loved ones. Prayer is so powerful, and it changes our realities because we know it's a spiritual practice that changes the heavenly realm and that changes the earthly realm. So call our prayer partners, 1-866-273-4444. Remember, the Bible says that God is able to do immeasurably more than all we can hope or imagine or even think of. And it says that in the book of Ephesians, but that's the truth. God has been amazing me since I made that decision to follow him when I was 17 years old, and he's always doing above and beyond what I can imagine. So keep praying, keep believing, and if you've made that decision for Jesus today, the best is yet to come, and trust God with that. Well, in the meantime, brothers and sisters, we love you, and God loves you, and we will talk to you soon.
Thank you for your ongoing support of Crossroads, a supporter-funded nonprofit organization and member of the Canadian Center of Christian Charities. Thanks to faithful people like you, we are able to continue producing 100 Huntley Street. You can write to Crossroads, P.O. Box 5100, Burlington, Ontario, L7R4M2, or visit crossroads.ca to learn more about our programs.